What does this October full blood moon and lunar eclipse have in common with horns, Halloween, healing magic, horses, and divine twins? I'm Becky Bliss with more moonful reflections inspired by the moment and the ancient system of galactic center astrology. A gift from ancient India that shares the same roots as yoga. The moon, our magical, protective counterpart, has been adored, followed, observed, and wondered over for eons. Maybe it's her sacred, feminine, mysterious, capricious nature and her cycles as she waxes to fullness, pregnant with possibility before waning, disappearing into the darkness of hidden underworlds that captivates the heart and imagination, mirroring the nature of life and death, her many phases a mirror of the mind. As thoughts come and they go, emotions roll just as the tides ebb and flow. Maybe we are mesmerized by the moon because deep down, we have a knowing that life would be not as we know it if it were not for the moon. Interwoven into many beliefs, faiths, and traditions across land, sea, and time, the magic of the moonlight is not exclusive. Maybe this fascination is due to an instinctive recognition of her life-serving potential. Her many cycles, a divine instrument, ancient yet cutting-edge, goddess-given technology for planting, for growing, as our ancestors began to settle to a life supported by agriculture rather than relying solely on hunting and gathering. It was she. It was the moon that contained the wisdom and secrets of an abundant yield. Her intoxicating tonic, her divine elixir, is for everyone, spilling into every corner of every nation. On the 28th of October 2023, a partial lunar eclipse, the final eclipse of the year, and full blood moon will grace the skies. The eclipse itself will be seen across Europe, the Middle East, Africa, and Asia, as well as some of the east coast of America, west parts of Australia, and even some of the Arctic and Antarctica. So essentially, the entire side of the Earth that is facing the moon at the time of the eclipse will get to see at least a part of it. Full moons occur when the sun and the moon are on opposite sides of our planet. During a lunar eclipse, we are essentially witnessing our own shadow, the spectre of our world. Moon's orbit isn't a flat plane, so it will rise above or below the shadow of Earth during her cycle, which is why we don't have lunar eclipses every month. The moon needs to be at precisely the right incline for a full lunar eclipse to happen. This month, just a part of the full moon, will be eclipsed by Earth's darker shadow, making this a partial lunar eclipse. The visible effect will probably be quite subtle, however, weather permitting, a part of the moon will appear to turn red. For those in the UK, the moon will rise at 17:35 GMT. The partial lunar eclipse begins at 19:01 and will be at maximum at 21:14, ending at 23:26. Just a reminder too that the clocks go back the very next day, marking the end of British summertime. Eclipses are wake-up calls that bring what is hidden into our awareness, just as we get to witness the darkness of our Earth cast over the face of our moon. We are also more likely to experience shadow aspects of ourselves as we come face to face with what needs to be brought to light. Interestingly, This lunation began at the end of the Vedic observances of the fortnight of the ancestors and will peak just days before the Western celebrations of Samhain, Halloween, and All Saints' Day, where it is said that the veil between the world of spirit and the living is at its thinnest. This is also a cross quarter day, which roughly marks the halfway point between the equinox and the winter solstice. Samhain, which is Gaelic for summer's end, marks the beginning of the Celtic year. Starting again, land stripped bare of its bounty, ready to enter into the dark unknown of winter, to begin the cycle all over again. This magical time of year is a time to honour those who have passed, to face the darkness, to gather in provisions, and to protect ourselves from danger. This full moon also marks the culmination of the harvest, and coincidentally, this year also falls on an extremely significant day according to Vedic tradition, a celebration known as Sharad Purnima. This autumn full moon is said to hold incalculable amounts of healing and life-giving power and nourishment, pouring out overwhelming amounts of the nectar of immortality. The divine tipple, known in Sanskrit as Amrita. It is said that on this night, when the moon is radiant and overflowing, that the goddess of abundance and wealth, Lakshmi, pours out blessings of wealth and prosperity. It is also on this night that the eternal love of Krishna and Radha, sacred expressions of the masculine and feminine, is celebrated. The unrivaled expression of divine union. This is a soul connection, the ultimate pairing. But this full moon is an eclipse. Can such an outpouring of abundance, healing, and restoration really be found in the shadows? This October has certainly been eventful on so many levels, and it feels quite fitting that it would end with such a powerful celestial occurrence on such a significant date. Could this be a divine wink that even amidst all the chaos and uncertainty that anything is possible, and underneath it all, the magic still is and always has been overflowing? We just need to remember to join the communion. Magical Amrita spilling over, pouring out from the moon. Fill your cup. Hidden blessings are waiting in the shadows. This full blood moon, we are facing the darkness head on. The partial lunar eclipse revealing shades of ourselves that we haven't noticed before. Who is brave enough to face their fears and to take a sneak peek at what has been tucked away, hidden and concealed? Anyone familiar with astrology will know that the moon travels through the constellations of the zodiac throughout the month, spending about 2.5 days in each sign. In Vedic or sidereal astrology, the skies are broken down into 27 further divisions. These are known as lunar mansions. The moon spends 24 hours in each before moving over into the next. These mansions contain one or more stars and are vessels of magical messages and hidden forces, as well as abode of an ancient deity, a bit like a guardian angel bestowing gifts and protection. These are known in Sanskrit as Nakshatras. This blood moon and lunar eclipse will be held in Ashwini Nakshatra, symbolized by the head of a horse. These are the stars of the Ashwin, the divine physicians, the horse-headed twins who administer healing, life-giving magic, and curative medicine to the wounded. Ashwini Nakshatra spans 0 degrees to 13 degrees and 20 arc minutes of sidereal Aries. Or for those who relate to tropical astrology, 24 degrees, 7 arc minutes to tropical Aries through to 7 degrees and 27 arc minutes of tropical Taurus. So the tropical and the sidereal zodiacs have drifted apart slowly over the past 2000 years due to the precession of the equinoxes. The stars of Ashwini are literally the head of the Aries constellation in astronomy. And one of the main stars includes Beta Arietis, or Sheraton, which is the second horn of the ram. Horns, some way or another, at least in Western culture, have become twisted into an emblem that can sometimes be associated with the evil or the menacing. It is all about perspective. What if this was a horn of strength, dignity, victory? A horn that is blown to signify a rescue. Long ago, the horn was a symbol that was closely linked to immortality. By some strange serendipity, the shape of the head of the ram with corkscrew horns has a similarity in shape to that of the womb. Spirals of a life. This is where the magic happens. Mirror of life's spirals. Reflection of feminine life-giving power. Intuitive and primal by nature. The Shakti, the power of Ashwini Nakshatra, is the ability to heal. Uranus and Jupiter, both retrograde, are seated not so far away from the moon in sidereal Aries at the time of the lunar eclipse. Outer planet Uranus is concerned for Earth's creatures. His presence links to omens and warnings. Who is willing to do a bit of out-of-the-box thinking? Who will be the rebel with a cause and take a bit of risk-taking? Hold on tightly for sudden, out-of-space, out-of-thin-air surprises that are about to arise right out of the blue. Uranus is futuristic, intelligent, and all about the breakthroughs. Whilst we don't quite know which way the dice will roll, this is the unsticking. The Ashwin bring with them horsepower, a means of transportation, a way to move and a way to move quickly. We can call on Jupiter, the guru, for his protection, knowledge and royal advice. A light in the darkness, he is tender-hearted and is inviting us to listen to the teacher within. Planet Jupiter is sometimes associated with the cornucopia, which is also a horn. This is the horn of plenty, a vessel, a container, and yet all at once has a shape that is phallic, icon of both the masculine and the feminine. Each one an equal part of a whole, of fertility and good fortune. This is a predominantly Western cultural symbol that is sometimes used decoratively around the time of the harvest and filled with fruit, flowers, grains, and gourds, signifying richness, revelry, and fertility. We can't talk about this full blood moon eclipse without mentioning Rahu. Rahu. Ra means creative or solar. Hu means shocking or veiling. Rahu, shadow planet, the moon's north node. This is not a physical body and is calculated using mathematical points in space where the moon intersects the ecliptic This is the plane of the Earth's orbits. And it's these points, the nodes, the shadow planets, that are responsible for the eclipses. This metaphysical fugitive is creating a feeling of lawlessness. Rahu is hungry, ravenous, in fact. But this is an appetite that is never satiated. According to legend, Rahu is the disembodied head of a sky dragon that doesn't realize in actuality he is still connected and moving in perfect synchronization through life with his counterpart K2, the tail, the south node, which sometimes might be thought of as the soul. This is a game of chance as Rahu encroaches on moon's space, thirsty for a sip of the magic tipple. We can only hope that the intensity of Rahu doesn't overshadow the extravagant grace of Jupiter, but we can never really know which card will be drawn. What are we aiming towards? What is our desire, our drive, and our craving? Rahu has a hunger for power and for the physical. Lover of conspiracies, of running wild and spreading rumours, warping perceptions, beware of what you see, hear, or read. Addicted, Rahu is fond of hallucinogens and intoxicants. Head and fangs of a snake, this creature is greedy, demanding. He brings our attention, this blood moon, to our darkest, deepest, most hidden and secret desires. Rahu can be a bit of a wild card or the joker in the pack. It doesn't all have to be frightening or bad though, although it will certainly be astonishing. As well as harbingers of change, we can think of eclipses as a time to go inside and explore our inner space and the realms of the spiritual. As within, so without. What if what we see manifesting in the wider world is a reflection of that which we collectively haven't dared to look at, let alone deal with? Rahu can be visionary, and with this full moon being held in the embrace of the stars of the twin physicians, there are indications of shake-ups and change with regards to medical research and biochemistry, which would link up very well to the positioning of the new moon solar eclipse at the beginning of the lunation, which indicated big changes, particularly regarding the structures of healthcare, welfare, agriculture, and the general sustenance of humanity. Rahu can facilitate the transmutation of poison to nectar. Ashwini moves quickly to deliver the medicine where it is needed. Rahu's presence is alchemical, exotic, electric. The fact that he is passing over the stars of Ashwini, ruled by his counterpart K2, the south node, is suggestive of a release from the instant gratification and the lure of the I want more and more and more. The shadow of Rahu is sometimes associated with politics, with rebellion, with wolves, with deep dark forests, and with smoke. It might take some time for the fog to lift. In fact, as Rahu is transiting through the karmic knot end of Aries and into Pisces, we may be encountering uncharted territory and a few more shocking events and discoveries for a few more months. We may be lost, unable to see the wood for the trees. This is a time for daring journeys, discovery, danger, endurance, reason, sensitivity, courage, compassion. Rahu is linked to the psychic, to the hidden. The sky dragon is of both fantasy and originality. This is a time where dreams and reality get close. Beware of the ghosts and the apparitions. The fiendish forces may welcome knocking, dressed up in disguise. This is that time of year where it's best to not lose your head. It's wise to stay earthed and to practice the magical art of discernment. Rahu finds things easy to swallow, but difficult to digest. Acting too fast and regretting it later. However, we can't forget the placement of this mystical blood moon in the healing embrace of Ashwini. Ashwini, as it happens, is ruled by Ketu, the tail of the sky dragon, south node of the moon, and Rahu's other. They belong together, two parts of a whole. Rahu has the thirst and desire to keep going. Ketu, the penetrating insight. The south node helps us to perceive things in new ways. Rahu reminds us of our roots. Ketu will help us to reclaim our crown. Full moon of ritual, full moon of truth. This moon marks the end of harvest, inviting in abundance and under the full circle protection of the moon. This is a thank you to those who have guided us this far and to those who will guide us in the future. This full moon and eclipse will be positioned in Pada 4. This is the fourth portion of the Nakshatra Ashwini. So each Nakshatra is broken down into a further four portions. And this section of the skies is ruled by the moon herself. This is a slice of sky that is to do with empathy. In these shadowy times, who will carve out some compassion? It is in the darkest of nights that stars shine their brightest. Moon, veiled with the shadows of earth, she hides her tears. She's seen it all. Over and over, in a tidal lock, spiraling her dance through space with Earth. Never turning her face away, no matter what she witnesses. Even the moon, through her phases, mirrors the shape of the horn as she transforms day by day from her maiden crescent form. Shape shifting her way through space before reaching fullness and back again into a waning crescent-shaped horn, ancient and wise, before disappearing back into nothing. Ashwini Nakshatra, stars of medicine, of the dawn, of science and of travel, stars of the divine twins, celestial rescuers and healers, the concept of divine pairings and twins has captivated our consciousness for millennia and is a theme very much found in modern spirituality and culture today. This idea of somehow being a part of a magical or sacred pairing that brings healing, restoration, balance, and abundance is quite possibly a natural notion. A stirring that is buried within to bring us closer and closer to the divine. The idea of the twins might bring to attention our own heavenly counterpart, our inner teacher, our twin spirit or spirit twin, or our higher self, or maybe it's just that, a bit like Rahu, we have forgotten our tail. We have forgotten our soul. Twins appear across various mythologies, ideas, and folklores cross-culturally. Some mythologies suggesting one twin is of godly parentage and the other a mortal. Two halves of a whole, representing the dualistic nature of our world and our 3D reality. The idea of two bringing to our awareness the shadow aspects of ourselves, striking the balance, two counterparts, polarity, contrast. There are always two sides, like the head of Rahu, like the tail of Ketu, pairs of opposites, like the yin and the yang, like the moon and the sun, the negative and positive that is needed to create the perfect electrical circuit to allow the energy to flow. One cannot exist without the other. For there to be healing, we face deconstruction. The light, the dark, perfect balance of life. The power of the number two, two divine complements, teamwork and cooperation, meaningful connection. The number two is the number of harmony, of luck, of acceptance, of love, of hope, patience, and of peace. Ashwini Nakshatra, star of transportation, carrying us to where we need to be. Finely spun realms are passing through, and we are passing through the finely spun webs entangled in each other. What was once hidden and unconscious is brought to the surface. Whatever comes up in the aftershock of the eclipses. Before acting impulsively, be sure to be aware of the facts, to act in compassion and kind-heartedness, and to remember that there are always two sides to every story. The twin horses have a mythos all of their own, but that's another story. Horses can symbolize dreams, renewal, sexuality, new journeys. The horse is an icon of stamina, of potential, of power, vitality, and expansion, of travel across the earthly and the astral planes of existence. Full blood moon eclipse held in the stars of Ashwini. Swift, precise Ashwini twins. There are two, but this is one body. Pushed to the limits, the energy behind this star has a ferocity that is warrior-like, and yet has a quality of humility, healing, and lightness. Rahu, the head of the sky dragon, eclipsing the moon in the head of Aries, besides Jupiter and Uranus, stirs brilliant revelations. Held in the Ketu rule stars of Ashwini, cerebral, intellectual, emotional and spiritual faculties are enlivened, awakened. The fire element of Aries brings the energy to take action when action is needed. The swiftness behind Ashwini Nakshatra, the momentum to keep on going. This full blood moon and lunar eclipse is a time to invite health and healing in for all of humanity, because this is the real wealth. Meditate and go within. This full blood moon eclipse marks the beginning of a reclamation, the reconnection of a lost part of ourselves. Drink in the juice of the divine, taste the nectar, and don't be afraid of the dark. We are reminded beneath this blood moon of the sacrifices that have been made to be just where we are, right now, right here. Light a candle, light a fire. And if lucky enough to be celebrating, acknowledge that the trimmings are enjoyable. But as we watch our most ancient memories dancing in the flames, our basic needs being met once upon a time was the luxury. And just the thrill and the thump and the pulse and the breath of being alive was enough. It was plenty. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this recording. Please show me some support with a like, and don't forget to subscribe and share the love. I wish you a safe and peaceful full blood moon lunar eclipse, a happy Sharad Purnima, a joyful Samhain, and a Halloween that's filled with spooky fun and good spirits. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Take care for now.